I'm so excited to bring the Word of God to you. And I always, a strong believer of the Word of God, that I know that the Word of God brings a lot of power. The Word of God brings a lot of restoration and renewal and revival into the body of Christ and towards the believer's life. So today, I would like to speak something that is very, very important from the Word of God. But before that, how many of you are familiar with this Sunday school song that sounds like this? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rain came tumbling down. How many of you know this song? Wave your hand at me. Well, most of you know this song. That means you grew up from the Sunday school. And how many of you know that today, the reason why I sang this song is because today we'll be looking into the parable of the two builders in the Bible. And how many of you know that most of the Sunday school stories, right, you know, they carry a lot of great revelation. A lot of this Sunday school story, it might sound very fun and all that, but there's a lot of theological truth behind it. If you were here last two Sundays ago, I preached something got to do with Sunday school story also. We talk about David and Goliath. We talk about how you can slay the giant. Another Sunday school story, powerful, right? Theological truth was it, revelation was it. And today, we're going to be looking into another story, another Sunday school story, amazing story, and we're going to be learning on how God, what is God trying to teach us based on this story. Is that okay? Now, there was this couple who just got married and they wanted to buy a house. So they went on and they saw this vintage house. You know, how many of you love vintage houses? This old kind of house with these bricks and all that. So they were so excited. They wanted to buy this house. They went into the house. They saw the house. Even though the house was old, you know, but they fell in love with this house. But in that house, inside the house, the walls was cracking up. You know, the buildings, the roofs were, you know, cracking up. The tiles were cracking up. Some of the mosaics were cracking up. So what happened was they called a contractor to come in to patch up all these cracks. You know, they patch it up, cement it up, painted. And some cracks, they were so big. What they do is they try to hang a big painting to cover up the crack. How many of you do that at home? It's anything ugly on your wall, you take a big painting and then you hang it on it. So they did that. So and then they move in. And along this, along the way, after 1 year, you know, the cracks seems to appear again, you know. And this time the cracks was even more severe than what they used to be. And the mosaic, the tiles were cracking up. There was the roof were cracking up. The walls were cracking up. So what happened was they called back this contractor. They said, hey, can you come and, you know, look over my house again? You know, you did it in the past. Can you fix it again? And the contractor came and saw the crack. And he told them, this time, I don't think I can help you. And they look at the contractor and they ask, why can't you help? And he said, he looked at the crack and he said, I don't think there's a problem with the crack. And the couples got a bit bizarre. And then they were thinking that, I think this guy is a crackhead. Because there's a crack there. He can see it. I can see it. But he's saying it's not a problem. So they asked back the contractor. And the contractor said, I'm not saying that what I'm saying is here, I can see the crack. You can see the crack, but the real problem is not based on the crack. The real problem is because you got a shifting foundation underneath your house. The real problem is the foundation underneath your house, it's not strong enough. So if you are not going to fix the foundation, what is going to happen is you are going to be wasting a lot of money, time and effort doing some patchwork, but the house one day will collapse. See, in our life, in our spiritual life, there are a lot of cracks in our life. There could be cracks in our family. There could be cracks in our relationship. There could be cracks in our career. There could be cracks even in our ministry. There could even be cracks in our life. In every aspect of our life, we have different kind of cracks. And what we do is we spend so much of time and energy and effort trying to patch up these cracks in our life. And then we find again that this crack keep coming over and over and it just won't stop. Does it make sense? We try to fix things out, but we fail to understand there's an underlying problem behind those cracks. Come on, people of God, how many of you are still with me? The underlying problem with those cracks is that our foundations are not built strong. Today, if you have your Bible, let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, right up to verse 25. Matthew 7, 24, right up to verse 27, sorry. Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Let's read. Therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the rain descend, the flood come, the wind come, and beat on that house, it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Next one, please. But everyone who hears this saying of mine and does not do them, listen this. Anyone who hears this word and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. Now, verse 27, and the rain descend, the flood come, the wind blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and it was a great fall. Today, my title of my sharing, the short sharing today, it's called Building a Strong House. Turn your name and say, Building a Strong House. My title will be Building a Strong House. Now we see that. We learned that how this couple was trying to patch up things earlier. Remember the story? And then the contractor came and said, no, the problem is not within the cracks, but the problem is actually underlying this. And all these things, we need to come to the point that looking into our spiritual eyes, the spiritual condition of where we are right now. See, a lot of things, a lot of cracks in our life, we try to fix it, we try to solve it, but it keeps coming over and over and over again because our foundation is a shaky one. So today I feel that the Holy Spirit, yesterday I was praying, I just felt the Holy Spirit wants the church to know that He is about to build your house. When I said the word house, it means your life. Is that okay? Now, let's get back to the text again, right? As we saw the text, we find that there was this 2% who is building a house, okay? Now, in order to really understand this, we need to understand what does a house mean first. Okay, stay with me, all right? Now, there are four different meanings of a house in the Bible, okay? Number one, if you really understand, house always represents your life, okay? House always represents your family, okay? House always represents your ministry. That's why the church is called the household of faith. Today you're coming to the household of faith. Fourth, you know, a house always represents a society, a community, or a nation. That's why the children of God in Israel is called the house of Israel. Now, here we find that this when Jesus was saying the example, these two men, they are building their house. It means they are building their life, they are building their family, they are building their ministry, and they are building a nation, a community, or a society that they want to be someone that is well-known in the society, well-known. They want to be a man of influence. Now, we all see that these two men, listen carefully, they all had the same dream. What was their dream? To build a house. Second thing that is very similar with one another is that they all were from the same church. How do I know that? Now, very, very simple. If you look at Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, you'll find that here Jesus is speaking the very first sermon that he preached. He was preaching and there were multitudes there who were listening to the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, and you'll find that Jesus was covering various topics. He was talking about forgiving one another, do not judge one another, love one another, love your enemies. He's talking about adultery and all this, a lot of different topics. And it was a very long sermon. And they all stood there and they were listening. Today, 20 minutes, you all already get bored. But there, back then, they were listening because you know why? He was the greater preacher of all time. So from here, we will understand that these two men, they were in the same location, in the same place, listen, receiving the same thing. Both of them were hearing the same message. Both of them were receiving the same kind of anointing. Both of them was in the best church of all time because it was Jesus himself was preaching. You can be never wrong, right? It's the best revival camp ever. It's the best conference ever. Jesus is preaching, they are hearing. Okay, so now we find that they all had a dream. They want to build a house. Second is they were all from the same congregation, same setting, and same environment, same atmosphere, I would say at the same church. The third one is, both of them will face storms in their life. We read that, right? The storm came. So now we see two different person, so much of similarity, but there is something that is very different in them. What is so different about them? That Jesus called them one wise and another a fool one. Here we find they were all in the church. Listen this carefully. Okay, they were all listening to sermon. They were all listening to the teaching of Jesus. But there were some who are wise and another who were foolish. I didn't say, okay? I'm not saying you are foolish, right? Now, what I'm trying to say here is you can be receiving the same thing. You can be taking the picture and posting on the same picture. You can be doing the same thing over and over, everyone doing the same thing. But Jesus looked at them and said, this is a wise one, Yeah, why I'm pointing hand? Okay, this is the wise one. Later you want to stone me. This is the wise one, and this is the foolish one. Now, isn't it interesting that the wise can be listening to the teachings of Jesus, and the fool also can be listening to the teaching of Jesus? The wise will experience storm. The fool will also experience storm. Meaning there is no way out here. No way out in the sense that life will throw rocks at you. You're wise, you're foolish, or whatever it is, life will hit hard on you. But now, how can we differentiate what does a wise man means and what does a foolish man means here? Now here, very, very clear, the Bible said that a wise man is someone who builds his house upon the rock. Stay with me. And the foolish one is someone who builds his house on the sand. If you are a wise one, then you are building your house upon the rock. What does it mean, Sebastian? What does it mean to build your house upon the rock? If you have your Bible, I would like to turn to you, turn to me with the book of James chapter 1, verse 22, verse 25. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Go on. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and do not do, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. How many of you look at the mirror before you came to the church? We all do that, right? For he observes himself, goes away. Imagine, huh? You spray your hair, you do everything. You go back. Hey, how do I look? Huh? I forgot. You go back. That's what he does. Do to a person who reads the word, listens, and do nothing about it, okay? And then forget what kind of man he was. Wow, that was so harsh, right? And then go on. But he who looks in the perfect law and liberty and continues in it and is not forgetful hearer, but what? A doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, when Jesus said, this man, the wise one, he builds on the rock, it means that he is not just a listener of the word, but he is the doer of the word of God. A foolish man, he listens to the word, he goes to all revival camps, conference, Bible study, Bible school, and all these things to equip his knowledge, but he is not doing anything, not applying the truth of God in his life. You see, all this information and these knowledges will just come into your head, you know, become your head becomes so big, but when you don't apply the truth of God in your daily life, all this information and knowledge is not good enough. Today, information is just a click away. You can just go to the Google, or even right now when I'm preaching, you can check whether I'm preaching something correct or not. By right now, you can go to Google and check it out. And then it's information is just a click away. Information and knowledge today, people are after information and knowledge. They receive, but they don't do anything about the word of God. They don't apply the word of God in their family. They don't apply the word of God in their career. Come on, somebody. They don't apply the word of God when they're driving their car. They can be in the same hands. They come to church. Hallelujah. Korana basanda, we give you praise. You know, in the same hand as they were driving, they lift up their finger when someone overtakes them. What I'm trying to say is because their foundation is not strong. Why the foundation is not strong? Because there's constant hearing, and hearing, which is good. Which is very good, all right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But the hearing of the word of God just stays there. That means the power is not being released. Why do I say this? You know, how many of you are aware of what is a motion detector is? A motion detector is, you know, okay, let's say this light is a motion detector light, all right? So whenever I go off, okay, there's no motion, there's no movement, the light's off. Whenever I come, there's movement, right? There's motion, the light's on. Somebody maybe have it in your house. Now, the light is there, the power is there, the electricity is there, but it will not switch on until it sends motion. Come on. Until it sends some movement. Now, if you are just a listener of the word, you will not feel the power of the word of God being alive in you. But if you are a doer of the word of God, just like the motion sensor, whenever you walk, whenever you act, whenever you apply the spiritual truth in your daily walk, then bam, boom, the power of God being alive in your life. Come on, people of God. How many of you understand so far? Okay, we're getting somewhere, right? Information and knowledge alone is not good enough. Going to what Bible school, going overseas, and all these things will not help you to walk under the anointing of God. I'm not saying it's not good, it's good. But unless we come to a point to do something. Now, I need you to understand this. I just feel that the Holy Spirit is saying, would you do life according to my instruction?
Would you do your family according to my instruction? Would you live your life? Would you do relationship? Would you make decision according to my instruction? The reason why I'm saying all this is because God loves you so much. And He wants you to follow His instruction and follow His truth, because His truth is everything. Come on, people of God, say everything. See, no one plans their life to destroy their life. For example, as you're growing up, let's say you're young, and then you're like, you know, I want to have a bad family. I want to marry a bad girl. I want to marry a bad husband. I want to have a bad children. I want my children to hate me. I want my children, you know, to be disobedient. They come home, they kick me, they trample on me. No one wants that. Everyone wants to have a perfect family. What I'm trying to say here is, as these two men, they want to build their life, they want to build their family, they want to build their ministry and all these things. It talks about success, all right? But how many of you know success comes by doing the word of God? That's why we read in the book of James, the end part, those who live, listen and do by the word, these are the one that will be what? These are the one that will be blessed. People of God. Today, I want to awake you from this chairs, this church chairs. Not just, don't stand up, sit down. What is in your spirit that you want to just come to church? Okay, how many of you have practiced, let's say, that the last 10 sermon that you heard, it was a good message. Wow, Pastor Rajan, that was a good message. But then you go back, you really apply those things. Let's reflect back. How many of you this morning, you read a portion of scripture, and then you actually apply to it? Probably you tweeted it. Probably you took a picture and posted it on Instagram or Facebook. But how many of you really came to a point in applying those things? My friend, we can do all this gimmick in, you know, showing people that this is what I did, this is what, all that is good. I'm not saying it's wrong. But the one that has a strong foundation is someone who read a simple scripture. Love your enemy, they will apply it. Someone overtake your car, it's okay. Love your enemy. When someone messaged you and said bad things about you, when you hear someone talk bad about you, gossip about you, it's okay. The Bible said, do not judge one another. You know the reason why today there's a lot of judging, people are getting offended with one another, people are not coming to church and all that, because you know why? Information, knowledge, we're not doing what the word of the Lord is saying. Here, if you find, I'm not going to tell you what you need to do, because you can go back and read Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7, there's about 10 to 12 different messages that Jesus preached. And after everything finished, Jesus saying, now, it's like these two men who will listen to the word, one will do and one will not do. Jesus was giving an application to the people all there. All right? So you want to know what you need to do? Read Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7. Now listen carefully. We are soon going to be done, right? This foundation that you are building in your life is very crucial. It's very important. That's the reason why sometimes certain people, even though they go through storms and attacks in their life, you can see them still smiling. You can still see them in the church praising God. You can still see them giving unto the Lord. You can still see them, you know, being so passionate for God. Why? Foundation. Strong. Today, let's say you walk into the church, right? And someone forgot to smile at you. Okay, now you can't smile because you're wearing masks. You know, but someone did something bad to you, or say something bad to you, or probably you don't like the color of the, you know, the jacket the person is wearing, and then the person stared at you and all these things, and then you go back and say, I'm not going to go to church anymore because these people are making fun of me. But what does the Bible say about the word? Do not judge one another. Love one another. Every instruction in the Bible. How many of you know that to do family is already in the Bible? You read 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Paul will warn Timothy how to take care of household. Paul will tell Timothy, if you can't take care of your household, how are you going to take care of the things of God? How are you going to take care of the church? Everything is in the Bible. Wife, how to submit to your husband is there. How many of you know that the Bible taught us how to love one another? Saying what love is, you know, love is long-suffering, love is patient, all these things. But the problem is, we know all these things. 10 years Christian, 15 years Christian, 20 years, you ask anyone, they know all these things. But are you doing it? I got a friend back then, you know, he's very good in the Bible. He knows the historical context. He knows, you know, Book of Leviticus, Judges. How many of you read those books? I mean, see, Derek read those books. You know, some of us would not want even to flip there. You level the judges, are you judge Mandrane, you then you go, no, you go to the, you know, another books, you know, you try to make happy, you know. But my this friend of mine, he knows every single thing. He knows whose father is, whose father, whose mother, mother-in-law, father-in-law, all these things he knows. So knowledgeable in the Bible. But along the way he fell into the drugs, and today he's not in the Lord. Just like that. Why? Foundation not strong. I know everything. I can quote scripture. I can tell the scripture, but I'm not living the scripture. My friend, today we need to come to a point to live out the scripture, because the scripture is alive and active and powerful. And how many of you know, here we'll find that these two guys who's building this house, they will face storms. Both houses look nice, you know. One is in the rock, on the rock, you can't see the foundation. One on the sand, you can't see it. Both had very nice house. Beautiful house. Everything will look good until the rain comes. Hello? Everything will look good when an attack comes. Everything will look good when suddenly you had a back pain. Everything will look good. Suddenly you receive a call from your doctor and say, hey, there's something wrong with you. Everything will look good until the next morning you wake up and you find your tire is punctured. Everything will look good until a storm comes. Here, the wise and the fool, they had the same kind of structure of the house, but things begin to change when the storm comes. Now, before the storm came, you can't differentiate a wise and a fool. As long as it wasn't raining, both houses looked good. But when the storm came, it revealed who had the strongest foundation. Sometimes storms in your life is part of God's plan. Why? For you to see and recognize how strong are your foundation. God already knows what kind of foundation you are at. He knows it. He's not trying to test you. Oh, he got a good foundation. Oh, he doesn't. He already knows. But he wants you to understand. He wants you to see it yourself. My son, are you in the strong foundation or in the weak foundation? That's the reason why certain storms happen in our life. To help you to see. Oh, now you look back. Wow. My foundation is not strong now. Wow, I'm getting angry out of no reason. Wow, I'm falling into sin. Wow, I'm doing this. It's not of God. There's something wrong in my foundation, and I'm wasting my time pasting the cracks in my wall, whereas my foundation underneath is shaking. So until you face storms in your life, you will never know what kind of foundation that you are at. God already knows what foundation that you have to build. But it is for you to see now. Let's look at Mark chapter 4, 35 and 41, and then we're all done. Matthew chapter 4, verse 35 and 41. Another nice story. On the same day when evening had came, he said to them, let us cross over the other side. Some other version will say, we will all make it to the other side. Listen to this carefully, right? He said, we will all make it to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Okay, go on. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. Ayo. He did not just accidentally fell asleep, no. He had a pillow. That means he already planned to sleep. Who accidentally fell on a pillow and sleep? Yeah. Maybe Jeffrey. He put up his hand. You know, some people are just so blessed, they put them in the car, they can just sleep. Put them anywhere, how? They can just sleep. Right? That's because God gives sleep to his beloved. You are his beloved. But don't sleep in church, okay? Don't sleep. Pastor, God gives sleep to the beloved. So I hear the voice of God and I will sleep. No, not all this, okay? But he was in the stern asleep on the pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. Listen to this carefully. Very interesting. Okay, we are getting somewhere and then we are done. Here, they were all, Jesus said in another version, we were all going to make it to another side. So they all got into the boat. Okay. Jesus has already spoken something. Okay. They got into the boat, and suddenly there was a windstorm. There was storm. And these guys are trained fishermen, right? They know the route very well. They know the sea very, very well. And here, the Bible said they were so terrified, so afraid. Meaning, you know, the storm was so great. And they went to look for this guy named Jesus. And he is sleeping on a pillow. Some version was a cushion. Sleeping nicely. Can you imagine? Probably he was snoring. Pillow, cushion, wind. For people were scared of the wind. He was like, wow, aircon. And he was sleeping. And these guys, probably Peter or someone, came to him. He said, hey, Jesus, can't you see that we are all scared? And you know what? Jesus asked them, why are you so scared? Why are you so terrified for? If I was Peter, I was like, really, you want to know why I'm terrified? You really want to know why I'm so scared? We are going to die. That's it. And Jesus, listen to this, came out from his sleep. And the Bible, you know, said the disciple didn't wake him, you know, arouse him. Didn't like, hey, Jeffrey. Never. They had to shake him. Deep sleep. When my wife does that to me, I get very terrified. I got this problem and I'm in deep sleep. Even just like that, I do like that. Christian, you know, I go mission three, what people make me scared sometimes. Anyway, Jesus, they had to arouse him. Probably they tickle his feet or probably they do something, you know. Probably they do like, and then so that Jesus awoke. What's happening? And the last one, let's look at verse 40. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is that you have no faith? How is that you have no faith? How is that you have no faith? Stay with me. How is that you have no faith? A lot of people will relate this by saying that, you know, Jesus told them, why you got no faith now? You can just go into the sea and tell them, shut up, storm, go away. You know, where's your faith? But this is not what Jesus is referring to. When Jesus said, how are you don't have faith? Why you got no faith? It's because Jesus is referring to his first line. He said, we will all be on the other side. Jesus has already said, we will all be there. Which means, whatever that God says, storms or whatever come, it will definitely take place. Where's your faith? Few minutes ago, I told you that we will all be there. That's the reason why I slept. When you saw me sleeping, you listened to what I've just said. You have now to do it. Take a pillow and sleep with me too. But you are there. Ayo. What are we going to do? We're going to die. The fish is going to eat us. Like Jonah, the big whale is going to come eat us. How? And Jesus there. Because I have spoken my word, my disciples just need to obey and do what I say. And Jesus came and he was like, dude, why are you even terrified? I'm telling you, dude, why are you even terrified? You are terrified because you are just listening to the word and you're not doing the word. If you will come to a point in understanding, in doing what the word of the Lord says, boy, let me tell you, no matter what happens, you will be so steady because underneath is so strong. Today, you know, you can show that how holy and how great, how passionate you are. But so many, I've seen a lot, countless people, this kind of people, suddenly one thing happened, bam, they're away from church. Bam, they will not want to serve. Oh, I want to take a break because I'm sad. Oh, why you want to take a break when you are sad? Because your foundation is shaking. But if your foundation is strong, throw me whatever you want to throw. Let the storm come. Are you your pain? Let the storm come. Let the wind come. Rain come. Flood come. Wind come. I will stand strong because my foundation is strong. Today, in these very last days, in this pandemic, you know, God is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. We never know. But what I'm trying to say, in these very last days, we need to come to a place and say, God, I want to build my foundation. I want to practice endurance. I want to practice perseverance. Whatever that happens in my nation, in my life, or in my family, I will still stand strong because my foundation cannot be broken. Amen. All the legends in the Bible that you read, they did not have, they did not maybe have a beautiful house and all that, but in their spiritual house, so strong, come worship them, so strong that it can never be moved. And this story, Jesus came. He just reminded the wind again. Shh, be still. Based on this text and the text that we heard earlier, Jesus was teaching us some theological truth. Nothing is going to bring your strong foundation unless your foundation is built upon the rock. And how many of you know who is the rock? not the wrestling rock, okay? If you smell, but the real rock is Jesus.
Come on.
But you cannot just stay there. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I do everything for you. You just say, listen, but you don't do. That's the reason why in the worship service, people can come. They will say, God, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. God, I want to give my life. You know, God, nothing matters anymore. Jesus, you all I need. Take away everybody, God. Give me Jesus is enough. But then when you go out from the place, we are not doing those things that we just said. And then here that, you know, see, the devil is not scared of how many information and knowledge that you know. He's not scared. He used to know the word of God, right, Pastor? He knows the word of God. More than you know, he knows. He was an angel. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. He's already there in the beginning. Okay? He knows the Bible in and out. You want him to quote, he can quote better than you. He don't need blue letter Bible, the Bible app, all no. He knows that. He's not afraid of people who knows the Bible, but he's afraid when people practice and apply the word of God. Very terrified. Oh, Derek, he reads the word and he applies. Oh, he gets very scared. All hell will be terrified when the people of God apply spiritual truth in their family. Today, many families are breaking up. Many people are going in the verge of divorcing because they don't understand how to do family. They don't understand how to treat their spouse because they are not applying what the Bible said. If you really apply every spiritual truth, my friend, your family will not be shaken. Your wife, your husband, they will not leave you. Your children will not be a little Lucifer at home. They will not be climbing on your head and taking drugs and doing all these things. They'll be so submissive towards you because you have taught them how to apply the word. My friend, as parents, you're watching this. If you want your children to apply the word of God, you first need to apply the word of God. Because you know why? They will watch you. My father and mother also don't want to come on church. They want to go play golf on Sunday. What? So I used to grow up, I'll be like that. They will see what you do. My father, they talk a lot about the word of God. He preach every Sunday and Saturday. But when he come home, he's not a pastor, he's a devil. They will look at you and they will too become like that. Because you know why? It's not. I'm not saying what your father or mother does, you'll become like that. But they grow up watching you. My father and mother, they don't apply seriousness in the word of God. I am going to be like that too. So parents, if you want your children to be found in the presence of God, if you want them to be so passionate and fire and apply spiritual truth when they find their girlfriend, when they find their boyfriend, every parent, that's what you're so afraid, right? Especially if you have a girl, you know, when they go to college, are you going to go to college? Don't know which guy they're going to fall in love and all these things. But if you teach them spiritual truth, they will bring a man of God to the house. It's all lies on how you apply spiritual truth in your family. All right, come on, stand up to your feet. How many of you are encouraged?
Amen.
This is a message of encouragement, okay? So God wants you to build that strong foundation. Come on, let's worship God.